Hey son, Sveison. Yes, it's that time of the week again. It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. This week, how can a not so cool anymore tech company, that's a real adjective and noun, attract the best talent? By aligning its people promise with its overall promise. But what's the company? What's the purpose? Stay tuned, all shall be revealed in this week's expert interview. Paul Davis, how's it going?
Hey, good to meet you. Very well, thank you.
Great. So tell our listeners who you are and what you do, please.
Okay, I'm Paul Davies. I'm the Consumer Marketing Director for Microsoft in the UK.
Great. And you're on the Employer Branding Podcast today. How does your job overlap in terms of employer brand?
It's an interesting question, actually. Very closely, and I've talked about employer brand before, so it's something that's really close to my heart, because I suppose I'm, as a marketer, I'm more attuned to the company brand, but increasingly I'm seeing the overlap with the employer brand and the benefits of aligning the two. So it's a topic that I'm really interested in.
Would you say that there is an employer brand, a consumer brand, and a corporate brand, or is it all one brand?
I think it is one brand, but I think it's one brand that has, you know, different meanings to different audiences. And so, you know, if I think about our brand, you know, we're very much we have a relatively new mission. So our mission previously, you know, very famously, was around a PC on every desk and in every home around the world. And, you know, that was kind of famously our mission from Bill Gates for many years. And a few years ago, we changed that. You know, that mission served us really well for, you know, close to 30 years. And then we recently changed it to, you know, Microsoft's only our second ever mission in our lifetime, which is to empower every individual and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And so it's interesting because our brand is one which is, it's not about being cool, which, you know, a lot of technology brands want to be. You know, it's not about us. It's about us being an ingredient for our customers. And so you'll notice actually that all of our communications, all of our advertising, it features our customers, you know, achieving with our technology. And so it's a very purpose-driven mission, and that's something, you know, that's our overall company mission. But then I think it's really interesting how that translates to an employer brand, because our employer brand is to be the one who empowers millions, which is really quite a simple derivative of our company brand, which is about empowering every individual and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And so I think there is a very close relationship between the two, which I find really fascinating.
Great. Okay. Well, we'll get into the people promise in a minute. I just wanted to ask about the corporate culture. How would you describe it inside Microsoft?
Corporate culture. I would say, like most technology businesses, it's very dynamic. It's very fast moving, very future focused. So we don't have a huge amount of time to look back. It's always very much kind of looking forward. I would say it's a very varied business. You know, we have a huge portfolio of brands and businesses, from, you know, Windows as an operating system through to, you know, Surface, which is hardware devices, through to MSN, which is an online news portal service, through to Bing, which is a search engine, through to Azure, which is about servers in the cloud. So you name it, we have a number of businesses under the umbrella. So it's a cliche, but no 2 days are the same. It's quite an entrepreneurial business. People are always surprised by that when they join. It does feel still very entrepreneurial, for a big business. And we have a phrase which I really love, which we talk about a lot, which is "Come as you are, do what you like." Which I think is really true to the feeling at Microsoft. You know, we really do encourage people to, you know, seek out the work that they find most interesting and that they're really passionate about. You know, that certainly feels very true to my experience here. It obviously, you know, it's still a very professional environment, but one that really embraces diversity as well.
So you may or may not want to comment on this one, but do you think that the new CEO, so is it Satya Nadella? Mm-hmm. Do you think him taking over from Steve Ballmer, do you think that's revitalized the business a bit?
I think the business feels very different under Satya, and I think he has helped Microsoft to find our purpose, you know, and what we're here to do. And so, I think he's a phenomenal leader, and you know, I think he's really sort of led the business through to the next phase of its evolution.
Yeah, great. Okay, and what talent challenges are you faced with at Microsoft?
Talent challenges. Well, I mean, for me in the marketing function, it's always about attracting great marketers. Mm-hmm. That's obviously usually close to my heart. And then, getting a little bit more specific, particularly, attracting, the millennial audience into Microsoft, who may have a perception of it that isn't the reality, particularly when you've got some hot brands like, Facebook and the Googles, et cetera, who on the surface may be perceived as more progressive. As I say, people, when they join Microsoft, they're often surprised at, firstly, as I say, how entrepreneurial it is, but also just the range of businesses that we have under the Microsoft umbrella. Mm. But I think, working a lot with that millennial audience, I believe that there's quite a lot of myths about millennials and millennial talent that I think is really good to bust. The first I hear is they switch jobs all the time. But actually, if you look at the data, it's not a millennial issue today in 2017. It's a life stage issue. And the numbers are no different than they were 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's just that young people at the start of their careers do tend to switch jobs. It's not unique to today's millennials. The other thing I hear about them is that they're easily distracted, which I think is really interesting. I think this group have grown up with technology, and so they're just smarter at switching between devices, and they're smarter at moving from PC to tablet to phone to conversation, constantly throughout the day. So I don't think it's a lack of distraction at all. I actually think they're probably better than my generation at, how they operate like that. Also hear about them as talent that they need constant feedback, which I guess some listeners may relate to. Yeah. But actually, if you think about it, they've grown up in the social media age.
Yes.
They've grown up where if they send their friend a message on Facebook or they send a tweet, they just expect an instant response. That's just kind of what they're used to. And so I think that the millennial challenge is really interesting, but something I'm really passionate about is a bit of myth busting around that. And I think one of the things that I certainly hire for with talent is people who have deep curiosity and, people who are interested in the world and how things work, because I think they make great marketers, but I also think that the future of work will be pluralistic. I think we will have careers where we do multiple jobs and multiple things at any one time, and that will become quite normal. Whereas I think today, it's very much you have one job and that's what you do and you go home. But I think partly driven by technology, I'm certainly seeing, new entrants into the workforce being really good at this, really smart at juggling, multiple interests. I've got one woman who works for me who, she happens to be in a marketing manager job, but she also is a food blogger and at the same time is training to be a fitness instructor. And that's kind of just seen as quite normal for that generation.
Yeah.
Which I think is really wonderful as well. So that's kind of, one of the things that we look at.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Right. And now back to this this EVP. I think you already mentioned it. Sort of, what is the EVP? What is the people promise of Microsoft?
Yeah, sure. So the people promise for us is, you know, offering people the opportunity to be the one who empowers millions, which, as I say, you know, that's a very close and simple derivative of our overall company mission, which is about empowering every individual and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And so I think it's a very powerful promise and a very exciting one as well, because one of the things that Microsoft can offer is, you know, we do things at scale. And so, you know, literally we are affecting millions of people around the world with our work. And so if that's the sort of thing that switches people on and having that deeper meaning and purpose, Microsoft is a really good place to be.
Yeah. Okay. And how do you communicate and how do you bring this message out to prospective talent?
Sure. Well, it's interesting that the company mission is actually on the back of everybody's security pass to get into Microsoft buildings around the world. It's talked about in every executive keynote that we see. So it very much runs through the veins of the organization, and it's embedded through repetition.
Yeah.
And, you know, so much so, I think you'd find it hard to find a Microsoft employee who couldn't tell you our mission virtually word for word. And so it runs through the organization very much from the top. You know, you talked about our CEO, Satya. Every time he's on stage talking to the business, or every email that he sends to the company, it always relates back to the mission. And I think that repetition is really critical.
And so that's kind of internally mainly. So what if you're a millennial technology developer? What would be the touch point for them, you think?
I think I'd hope it comes through in all our external communications now. So I touched on this earlier, but every communication that we create, and I'm particularly thinking about, you know, the big vehicles like TV. Mm-hmm. We no longer really sort of talk about ourselves anymore. We just want to talk about our customers because it's really about them. And so you hopefully will have seen our TV commercials, which is, you know, normally the heart of our marketing, and then everything else kind of spins out from there, where we feature real people doing real things, following their dreams, following their passions, using our technology. And so everything kind of always relates back to helping people achieve. And so I think that's probably most people's sort of touch point into the organization, you know, from outside and kind of hearing what we're about.
Trouble is, millennials, they only watch Netflix, no ads. How do we reach them?
I hear that a lot. It's a common media myth. Uh-huh. Everyone says they don't watch TV. They do watch TV. They do tend to watch it across different platforms. So they watch more online TV, or their choices are different to other generations. So we still reach them through TV, but, you know, online TV as well as other different methods.
And so, are there any particular initiatives that you are proud of that you'd like to highlight to our listeners?
I think we do a lot, particularly with young women, and encouraging them to move into technology. So we have a global initiative called DigiGirls, which I think is fabulous. And that's a global program that we have. And that's really about exciting girls in high school about what a future career in technology could look like. So that's really exciting. And, you know, if listeners are interested in that, they can have a look online and there's more information. And then similar to that, we very famously have run some advertising a couple of years ago that featured young schoolgirls talking about achievement, and particularly about, you know, some of the great female inventors that we've had through the ages. And I'm really proud of that as well, because technology and engineering has very traditionally, you know, been a male-dominated environment. And so it's really good to encourage women into the industry, particularly at an early age, and show them what's possible and what they can achieve. I find that very motivational and really exciting as well.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. So lots of companies like GE, for instance, are doing similar sort of initiatives. I've read that the bad news is that, particularly here in the UK, that women in technology, the numbers are actually going backwards here. I don't know if you've seen that as well, but seems to be.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one, Jürgen, so I couldn't really comment on that one. So
yeah, I think it's a real issue. I think it could be that the pool of people doing technology jobs is just bigger, growing every year, and more men are getting into it. So hopefully those messages will resonate with more women.
Yeah, hopefully.
So how do we go about measuring ROI? So you're a marketer, it's all about ROI on. How do you get return on investment on the employer brand?
Yeah. No, you're right. It is marketing is all about the ROI. And actually, in terms of measuring employer brand, I think it's very similar to how we can measure ROI on company brand. And so for me, it's all about a range of metrics that you can look at. Maybe it's a dashboard, for example, of different metrics that measure different aspects of success. So for employer brand, for me, it would be things like retention rate, of staff would be one. Cost per hire would be another one. You'd hope that as the employer brand gets more successful, it becomes cheaper to hire and attract great candidates, which is probably, another aspect to look at is, what's the quality of candidates wanting to come and work for the business? What does that look like? And then a couple of other things I think are interesting that people might not think of immediately would be the number of employee referrals. Mm-hmm. So for example, at Microsoft, we have a referral scheme where we're encouraged to refer people to come and work here. It's hugely successful. I think that's a really interesting metric for employer brand and really how existing employees are feeling about it. And then lastly, one topic that's becoming more important is social media chat about the brand. So sites such as Glassdoor, I see a growing in scale and also influence. And so, that Glassdoor is a really good place to go and look to understand what our existing employees saying, how they're feeling about working for that business. And it does give you quite a lot of insight, although I would say probably has to be taken with a little bit of a pinch of salt. Because it's very easy to be the disgruntled employee and sounding off on social media. So it's certainly an interesting barometer to look at.
Do you know what your score is on Glassdoor right now?
I haven't looked. You're probably going to tell me and frighten me.
Well, it's 4 out of 5, which is good.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And the even better news is that your man Satya, he has a 96% approval rate. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. Have you got any top tips for employer brand managers out there? I think you just mentioned a couple, but if you have any more.
Yeah, I think so. I think for employer brand managers, I mean, often they sit within the HR division. So I would say reach out, befriend your marketing colleagues in the marketing department and align, because really, the skill sets are really complementary. And as I described, I think that the trick is to make the employer brand closely related to the company brand. If they're worlds apart, it just isn't authentic. I think the second is creating a measurement framework, which I've just talked through. So think about the best way to measure the potency and power of your employer brand. And thirdly, I think seeking support from the very top of the organization so it can really permeate and really kind of run through the veins of the organization from the very top all the way through, I think is really important. And that just helps with driving broad adoption.
Yeah. And I think, a challenge that employer brand managers have sometimes is they sort of sit between marketing and HR. So you're absolutely right. It's I know some companies, so even though it is an HR function, they sort of pool the budgets with marketing for employee brand campaigns, and that's, you know, where they can reach a lot more talent in one go.
Yeah.
Right. So if you look at, well, beyond Microsoft, are there any other companies out there that our listeners should be checking out, in your opinion?
On the topic of employer brand, I think Netflix are really interesting. They have a very progressive values presentation that you can find online, but that's really, really interesting. From, you know, famously, their policy on holiday, for example, which, you know, you can take as much as you need, but they describe the inspiration for that of an employee one day coming into work and saying, well, look, we don't talk about how much time I have in the day that I'm entitled to go to the coffee machine or to get a glass of water or go and get some fresh air. So why do we do the same for a day's holiday? And so famously, that kind of changed their policy on holiday to take as much as you need, which I understand people respect, which I think is really interesting. But they talk about impact and individual achievement a lot within that presentation. And it's very clear, if you're going to join them as a brand, it's all about the personal impact that you can make. And that's sort of the contract that you have with them, is average performance isn't okay. And they, you know, they're really seeking high performance. And so they're super clear that you know, achieving a high performance with little effort will actually be rewarded more greatly than an average performance with just tons and tons of effort. So it's a super clear contract. So I think they're one that's very interesting to have a look at. And the second one, I mean, it's probably Virgin. Hopefully not too much of a cliche, but there's something about Virgin that there's a virginness, if that's a word, about all of their companies in their group that I probably couldn't put into words. But you certainly feel it with all of their businesses. And I understand for them, it's about having enough consistency across the group so that every company feels like Virgin, but enough flexibility for each business to operate you know, within its local market. So I think they're an interesting one as well.
Yeah, a very interesting one. And I think that there's a public-facing Virgin brand, but behind the scenes, you know, Virgin, the holding company, Richard Branson, they don't own the whole thing. So I think Virgin Media in this country is only owned by Virgin Group to 3%. And then it's Liberty Mutual, I think, they own the rest. But it's, that's a really strong, well, I guess it's the Virgin Way, which is Branson's book even.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. Right, okay, final question. What's up next in employer branding, in your humble opinion?
What's up next? I mean, it is such a hot topic today. You know, it certainly seems to, you know, very much be of the moment. I think one of the things that I'm witnessing is a lot of brands are seeing benefit in finding their true purpose and what they should exist for, and finding their meaning. But I think there's a danger to that, because I do think our purpose and meaning is deeply authentic. As I said, it's just part of the DNA of the organization and what we're here to do. But I do worry that lots of brands are sort of jumping on the bandwagon and trying to find a purpose, but without depth of meaning or authenticity underneath it, which I think is a real risk. So I think for me, that's kind of a really interesting watch out for us, you know, as marketers, to keep an eye on. I think that's an interesting trend.
Yeah, I think after was it Simon Sinek's talk about, you know, finding the why, and there's a bit of a rush for purpose. And the sad truth is that not everyone can be Patagonia or Innocent Smoothies. So yeah, you've got to keep it real and authentic, as you say, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that video. Actually, that's one of my favorites. It's so good. And you know, suddenly I use that. Not every day, but I use it a lot with my team. And you know, we talk a lot about, you know, what is our why. It's a great one.
Yeah, great. All right, Paul. How can our listeners find out more about Microsoft and its employer brand, and where can they connect with yourself?
So to find out more about Microsoft, check out Microsoft.com. And to connect with me personally, you can find me on LinkedIn. Just search for Paul Davies Microsoft. Or you can also find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Paul_Davies.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. I hope that was useful. Everything Paul and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find on Undercover Recruiter, that favorite recruiting blog of yours, as well as employerbrandingpodcast.com. Have you ever gone to that URL? You'll notice that it redirects to LinkHuman's podcast page, which kind of makes sense. In other news, we're all gearing up for autumn. Clocks will fall back, and it's time to rev up your hiring. What's your most pressing talent attraction challenge? I'd love to know, and I'd love to see if there's anything that we can help with. So I only ever work with 3 clients at the same time, and there's currently a little waiting list, but do get in touch and let's chat. I do like to plan these things ahead. I'm on jorgen@linkhumans.com. So that's jorgen at linkhumans.com. I'm based in London, but we work with clients across the globe. So whether you're in Argentina or in Canada, or why not New Zealand, feel free to get in touch. I'm sure Skype will reach wherever you are. If you want to learn more about us or have any other questions, feel free to get in touch on any of our social media channels. You'll find us at LinkHumans on most channels. And that's about it. Many thanks for tuning in, and catch you next time. Hey, doc.
Okay, so for my joke, you have to understand I have small children, aged 4 and 6, and so their bar on humor is actually pretty low. But that's a good thing because they're really easily amused. So my favorite joke to share with you is, why are pirates called pirates?
No idea.
Because they are.